Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
We got another quarterback that people should probably start listening to, because if not, it could get ugly, and it could get ugly soon for Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys. Jhené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Jhené Egbuemeke. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Reminding you guys, too, you can watch us here on ESPN Plus and listen to us on ESPN Radio through 7:30 tonight. We're taking you guys all the way up to the coverage on ESPN Radio starting at 7:30 for the Georgia Tech-Duke men's basketball game later tonight. We're excited about that, Jhené. It's getting to that time in college basketball season where things are getting real. We're trying to figure out if Duke's even going to make the tournament. But
crazy.
We've got some other news that is popping up before that right now in the world of college basketball that we've also got to address here before we get to any quarterback business, Jhené, because Doug McDermott, who's the men's basketball coach for Creighton, just put out an apology on his Twitter page. It was Notes app, so you know it's serious on this, and it begins like this. Greg McDermott on his Twitter page, thinking of former Creighton basketball star Doug McDermott there. Craig McDermott, the Creighton men's basketball coach, tweeted out this apology, and he said, "I'm sorry. On February 27th, after an emotionally tough loss on the road, I addressed our student athletes and staff in the post-game locker room and used a terribly inappropriate analogy in making a point about staying together as a team despite the loss. Specifically, I said, quote, guys, we got to stick together. We need both feet in. I need everybody to stay on the plantation. I can't have anybody leave the plantation. I immediately recognize my egregious mistake and quickly address my use of such insensitive words with the team. I have never used that analogy, and it is not indicative of who I am as a person or a coach. I am deeply sorry. I have apologized to our student athletes and to our staff, as well as to President Hendrickson and our director of athletics, Bruce Rasmussen." So, Jhené, he went on to apologize and talk more about the last 72 hours for him, but that is certainly a moment that him and Creighton basketball, who also Creighton released a statement, the university, after that, addressing those comments right now, clearly trying to get out in front of it this moment.
Yeah, so clearly we all recognize that the use of the word plantation is triggering for a number of individuals in our country based on the history. Like, we all understand that. And I am hoping, you know, I'm a glass half full type of person. I'm hoping that once he said that, which, by the way, should be a reminder of how ingrained it is into our vernacular, even when we don't recognize the power and the hidden, you know, implications of what that type of word means to people. You know, I'm glad that he immediately caught himself and said, oh my goodness, if I'm correct, right, Junior? And addressed it right after he said it, saying that, all right, this is something that is atypical for me. I understand it is not appropriate ever. And started the process of letting everyone know that he apologized. I'm good with that. Because we all slip up with words, but that word, it just makes you wonder if you say it in your moment when people, you know, like heat of the moment and all that type of stuff. If you say it, where do you really stand? Well, I don't believe in cancel culture. I think it's nurturing back. And so having him immediately say, hey guys, this was a problem. And I'm sure that maybe his locker room reacted and was like, what? You know, this was a problem that I said this, apologizing, talking to the university. That's the best thing for it, instead of acting like you never did anything in the first place. So again, you know, this is the first time I've ever heard something like this happen to him. I was a member of the Wooden Award the same year as his son, Doug McDermott, right? That went to Creighton, played for his father. And Doug is one of the nicest and sweetest human beings that I've ever, you know, met. And so, like, I tend to try to see the big picture and the big context. If this was a slip, then he acknowledged it. And now we understand why those words may be a little bit more heavy and we can actually catch ourselves and hopefully move forward better.
Yeah, so again, Greg McDermott, Creighton men's basketball coach, issuing an apology after, in the locker room post-game, in his own words on February 27th, saying, guys, we got to stick together. We need both feet in. I need everybody to stay on the plantation. I can't have anybody leave the plantation. Now, Jhené, February 7th was a few days ago, so there's a gap of time in between us learning about it. But that's less important why we're getting this now, as much as how you mentioned there, he addressed it with his team in that moment. Because if it's something you recognize, caught, and go, guys, that's my bad, I should not be using that kind of language, that is not who I am, and the team knows that, and you address it in real time like that, and commit yourself to doing better and being better going forward. That's the kind of response we like to see in those things, not your feet being held to the flames by somebody else. So if you can catch in real time and start to address in that way, then that becomes something that can be more productive going forward, can be illustrative of what you'd like to see, people admitting their mistakes and owning up to it in spots when they do happen there. Chinay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, Mike Golic Jr. and Chinay Agwumike. So we'll keep an eye out if anything else comes from that right now. Again, this was released, not too long ago, 26 minutes ago, by Greg McDermott on his own Twitter account. And so we'll keep you posted on that as it comes up. Now, Chinay, as we switch back to the NFL and what we were getting ready to talk about here before, Dak Prescott, I think, got a decision to make right now, and a pretty interesting one, because we're staring down March 9th. That's a franchise tag window in the NFL for when a team can put a player on the tag.
A week.
And Dallas, at this point, looking at the prospect of doing it a second time. And I asked this to Kelsey Riggs, who was sitting in with us earlier during the show, and I'll ask you now, if you're Dak Prescott, with everything you've seen, with all the flirtations with Russell Wilson, with the last year and a half of negotiation, is there any part of you that thinks, even if they tag me, I'm not playing another down for this team unless it's on a long-term contract?
It's really complicated, because I get this feeling, and Marcus Spears, our own ESPN NFL analyst, and also, you know, former Dallas Cowboys, sort of echoed this sentiment. There are certain people that are team players that are willing to do whatever it takes. And now this situation, the Cowboys have sort of created for themselves. And so, yeah, I can see a world where if, you know, there are a lot of forces at play that have happened this past week where maybe, you know, the Russell Wilson situation, where maybe you'd think, you know, personally, if you're Dak, how much do they really value you? But you'd have to feel like at this point they need that long-term security. And I know that tag will hamper their success based on constraints on their contract. So they're in a tough position. But if I'm Dak and I want to be a Cowboy, you know, this is the 11th hour where you say, look, I am your best shot. We all know this realistically. Let's figure this out. That's another great guarantee. But for an athlete coming back from injury, it's always on the forefront of your mind is that long term. And if your team isn't providing that, then I know that ambivalence is probably not great for him to feel, even though he's trying to do the right thing.
That's the tough part, is trying to figure out how much what we saw last year is going to impact him. Because it's easy for all of us to sit here and say, look what happened for Kirk Cousins, got the first fully guaranteed contract for a quarterback in the NFL because he bet on himself, got Washington to franchise him twice, and left for greener pastures. But when you got that recent thing lurking in your brain of, I know how this can go, and what if it happens again, it's a tough thing to deal with. Now, on the other side, how Dallas should handle this, what the Cowboys should do about this, our ESPN NFL front office insider Mike Tannenbaum was on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin on Monday and talked about their course and their strategy for this.
They should wind back the clock 2 years ago and get him signed instead of Zeke Elliott. But now, get in a room and get it done. You know, Dak's another guy that, again, to me, is a franchise quarterback. I would pay him $39 million, $40 million a year and get it done. And they have a lot of other things they have to get fixed on that roster. Try to lower that cap number and don't franchise him for the second year, because in 12 months you get nothing for Dak and he leaves as a free agent.
It's important to remember that if they franchise tag him, they've still got to, I think, July 14th to come to an agreement on a long-term deal. But, Chinay, if that tag comes out, I'm not showing up for a damn thing if I'm Dak Prescott.
Precisely.
Not a
keep that same
damn
energy
thing through the course of that spring, the workouts there.
Nope.
None of it.
Not risking it.
No, not going to risk it. And want to make abundantly clear, I understand my worth in this spot. Yeah, betting on yourself is great. I think NFL players doing that, I am all for people putting their abilities, their chips on the table and saying, I'm going to ride with me, the one who got me here. But I think also strategically, putting and applying as much pressure as you can on the Cowboys, who are coming off a bad season and who have a lot of money of their own in the center of the table, probably the way that's going to get things done on this one. Like Mike Tannenbaum said, though, man, just go back and do the right thing. You've had so many chances
come
here.
Come on.
Stop the bleeding. Stop the bleeding now.
Thank you.
And get it out there.
Cowboys, come on.
Make sure you stick around tonight. Tune in. College basketball action. Georgia Tech's hosting Duke. Coverage begins at 7:30 p.m. Eastern here on ESPN Radio. We're taking you all the way up to that. Chinay and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Sean Kelly and Bob Valvano are going to be on the call. Bob's joining us in the last hour, going to help get us set for a game that Duke very much needs to try and keep their tournament hopes alive. But coming up next, you hear that sound?
What?
Chicka, 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 choo, choo. You got a chance to get on the James Harden MVP train while I am still taking passengers. I will explain my pitch
what
next.
What does that sound?
Chicka, 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 choo, choo. And some surprising news about the place he just left. We'll get to that next. Jhené Ngola Jr.
aboard
here on ESPN Radio.
Jhené Ngola Jr., the podcast.
Fun fact.
Ooh.
About this song. Crazy Train, if you're not hearing it right now, let's say you're listening on ESPN Plus. You don't get to hear this. Let's say you're listening on the podcast right now. Crazy Train by Ozzy Osbourne is playing here on Jhené Ngola Jr. on ESPN Radio. Mike Golick Jr. and Chinua Achebe. And I'm going to tell you about the train that I want everyone to hop on right now. I'm going to give you guys an opportunity for a little while longer here before I shut the doors on the James Harden MVP train. But Chinua, I don't know if you know this or not. Notre Dame, when I got there, so I got to Notre Dame as an offensive lineman in 2008. That summer and that fall were my first fall on campus. And at that point in time, we didn't play music in Notre Dame Stadium. Not on third downs, not in any sort of situations like that over the speakers. We didn't have the Jumbotron at that point. It was strictly the band inside Notre Dame Stadium.
Okay.
And so at finally one point, I want to say it was my sophomore or junior year, they're like, you know what? We're going to let you guys, we're going to play music on third downs for the first time ever in all this. But you only get one song.
Was that it?
That one song was Crazy Train. And let me tell you, Chinua, we were hyped for a little while. And then imagine every third down in every game you play at home, seven Sundays or seven Saturdays every fall, hearing that same start to Crazy Train over and over again. It became a hell unlike anything I've ever known.
That's so funny because when I hear, bring them out, it's hard to yell when the background's in your mouth. Bring them out. It takes me back to like, I feel like I have to jump and start running like and follow the leader because it takes me back to high school. That's exactly what we had to do. Like if I'm laying in my bed and I hear, bring them out, I'm going to be like, oh, shoot. Okay, where are we going? Who are we playing? Am I ready?
So I'm late. I'm going to get there. I promise. Oh, it is unbelievable how time and place all of those songs were. But it serves a larger purpose right now because, Chinua, I offered you a shot earlier in the show. I offered Kelsey Riggs, ACC Network host who filled in for you in the first hour, and I'm going to try again to help you out in this spot, Chinua.
Okay, good. Please, give me more time.
Do you want to join me aboard the James Harden MVP train?
Yes, but like not a captain like you are. I'm going to be like, not in first class, a cute business select, right? Where you get free Wi-Fi, it's smooth, it's quiet. Not like I'm leading the charge, but because like the person leading the charge is LeBron James. But like, I get it.
So to be clear, you're not actually, like you want to wave to the train as it passes by, but you're still on the LeBron James MVP train.
Yes, correct.
All right, you know what? I understand it. And just because it's early right now, again, we're taking early investors on this one, people that want to sit, like you said, in business select and first class in the train car here that want to jump on this. Because, Chinua, I think this is real. Like what we're talking about with James Harden right now and what we've seen. He notched his seventh triple-double since joining the Nets last night, a 30-point triple-double without a turnover in that spot. He has been peak efficiency. He has been peak production. He has been the point god that we expected. And I think now it's time to flip the script because we've heard some people bring up, he hasn't been there that long. We remember what the start of the season looked like in Houston, what it took to get out of there. I think we need to start flipping that as something to be impressed by. The fact that this guy was able to come over into this environment in a limited amount of time and start making these kind of things happen all while the lineup has changed around him for all different reasons, injury, COVID, and otherwise.
Yeah, we had the lovely, beautiful, intelligent, effervescent Kelsey Riggs because I was on The Jump. And when The Jump asked me, how do we feel about James Harden going back to Houston and playing? I was like, I mean, I'm numb to Houston and I'm still looking at James Harden like the ex that you have the breakup and he's living his best life and you feel some type of way, but you still have love for. Like that's the feeling. There's a lot more love now for not only just Rockets fans, but I do think a lot of the league that had looked at James Harden when he was in Houston and said, oh, well, all he does is shoot. All he does is step back. Is that step back a travel? Oh, all he does is try to get fouls. Like they were a lot of people were very critical of James Harden's game. And now we finally have to put respect on his name because in the midst of this huge change where he had to do some crazy antics to get out of Houston, so much so that everyone's like, oh, he's so big. I was like, y'all, he's wearing four t-shirts and tucking it in. Hey. He's not that big. And guess what? I mean, you know, he wasn't like tipped top shape, still was giving the Rockets triple doubles. And he thought he was going to go out there and be a professional. But instead, what did he do? He was like, all right, I need to start making, you know, more noise and sending more signals and try to get my way out. So much so, like, he's even getting love because it was just announced, right, that Rockets owner Tillman Fertitta, or according to Kendrick Perkins, Fertitta, but Rockets owner Tillman Fertitta told the Houston Chronicle's Jonathan Fagan that James Harden will always be a Rocket. Of course, we will retire his jersey. He made my first 3 years of owning this franchise unforgettable. The success he brought to this franchise over 8 years and the memories he created for our fan base community are truly remarkable. And if you're watching on ESPN Plus, my camera, like, I'm at home, so my camera's like so far away. But like, that's, he's getting love from a place that probably would probably want to resent them because they're on a 12-game losing skid, just lost to the Cleveland Cavaliers. So yeah, James Harden deserves to be in the MVP conversation for leading the league in assists, at times single-handedly keeping this Brooklyn Big Three afloat, and also transitioning his game so that he's passing, he's creating for others. Did y'all see that man just did a 30-point triple-double with zero turnovers? Zero turnovers! Like, it's wild! He's been able to refine his game and just flip the switch and be productive in a year where there's so much change personally for him. Put him on the train! I'm still LeBron James because I'm an ageist, and I feel like at age 36, you know, this guy is doing something very special. But man, James Harden has inserted himself into the group chat and has a lot of people talking about him potentially being an MVP if they keep winning.
You remember this happened with the Miami Heat a while ago. We had Amin El Hassan, our ESPN NBA insider at the time, who said, Heat Island, the doors are going to close at some point. I'm giving everyone a shot right now because James Harden, last I checked too, was like plus 5,000 in the MVP odds. If you're looking to like get some money on this, I'm going to give everyone a little while longer to warm up to this, but not too much because soon this is going to go mainstream. Soon it's not just going to be me and superfan Mina Kimes,
yep.
Our ESPN NFL analyst and net superfan, all aboard the James Harden MVP crazy train right now. I'm trying to help everyone out here, just trying to make everyone better in this spot. Feel like he deserves it. You know this, Janae. I was critical of James Harden at certain times, his exit in Houston, all these different things. But I got to give credit where it's due right now. I think what works in his favor is what we've seen. There isn't a lot of air for many other teams and many other stories right now. Brooklyn's been that compelling since this started to happen. They have been the three-ring circus, but they've delivered in a very real way on the court. All this drama we were looking for, it ain't there. Him and Kyrie Irving sorted out their roles. Kevin Durant, when he comes back, we heard from plenty
of our fresh
legs going to be walking out post All-Star game. And we've heard from plenty of people we've talked to, Chiney, that wasn't the part of assimilating they were worried about. It was how do the guys with complementary skill sets, or should I say, in some cases, redundant skill sets, and Kyrie Irving and James Harden going to work it out? So far, so good. But coming up next, I want to get to another NBA star because we mentioned there's not a lot of air left in the NBA vacuum for other players. How much is location still a factor and still working into the way we talk about one of the NBA's brightest young stars going into year two? That's next. Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and streaming on ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Chiney Agumake getting ready for layup lines right now in the throwback machine. Bring them out. Bring them out. It's Chiney and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Chiney Agumake. It really, Chiney, like, there is nothing more vital to basketball success in my eyes than making sure you've got a great layup lines playlist.
Yes, that's extremely important. The first song is everything. For the LA Sparks, we always get to pick the song when you come out, you know, as a starter. Mine was, you could probably understand why, Saweetie, My Type. That was my song for the last season.
But, like, those are the important decisions that people sometimes take for granted around sports today. We used to spend hours on the whiteboard before the season putting together our preseason playlist, the one that was going to run before games at Notre Dame every weekend. So this is the kind of important research and diligent information that you got to have to make sure you go out there feeling your best self.
And it has to be eclectic. You can have some rock, you can have some hip hop, you can have some like pop rock classics, you know? So you have to have a really good taste in a whole lot of different types of music.
Fun fact, when I was there, Charlie Weiss was my head coach when I first got to Notre Dame, my first two seasons there. And Charlie only had one absolute he needed when it came to the pregame track list, because this song had been on the pregame track list in New England when he was an offensive coordinator with the Patriots and they won a Super Bowl. Who let the dogs out? I love Coach Weiss to this day. He is still a guy I am very close with, but it was hard to look at our opponents when Who Let the Dogs Out would come on in the middle of a stadium as you're trying to get ready to play a football game.
Yeah, they're like, are you serious? It's funny because if you hear that song now and you haven't heard it in a while, you're like, who let the dogs out? Who? Like, it's fun. But then when you hear it over and over again, you're like,
the party was nice. The party was jumping.
Hey.
Oh, my God.
It is a hit.
God help us all. Chinay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Chinay Agbumike.
It's only Tuesday, right?
It is only Tuesday, and we're already letting the dogs out. That's a bad sign, Chinay. But I'm interested how you read this sign, because we were talking about the Brooklyn Nets and the monopoly they've had on NBA content this year. And it's kind of, in a weird way, diminished, I think, a lot of the conversation we would have had about younger stars taking that next step. We talked about Devin Booker being an all-star snub, some of the guys whose names have come up. But one of them is Zion Williamson, who is an all-star and who's going to be there. But, man, judging by the conversation, you can hardly tell it, because it seems like Zion, who came into the NBA with as much fanfare as any player that we can remember out of Duke, has certainly, in a lot of ways, lived up to it. Battled some injuries during his rookie year, had those difficulties. But, Chinay, how would you assess where he's at now? And are you surprised we don't spend more time talking about it based on how he came into the league?
So, Zion is in a very unique situation. Right now, the Pelicans are 15-19, losing record, but they just beat the Utah Jazz, the best team in the NBA, which, you know, in a professional level, some nights you're the dog and some nights you're the hydrant. That's from my college coach, Tari Vanderveer. And Zion, they're figuring it out. You can see them slowly building chemistry. And on the jump today, they asked, is this now Brandon Ingram's team or is it now officially Zion's team? And no disrespect to Brandon Ingram, who is having a stellar year, but it's more so now Zion's team, because his team is sort of figuring out how to get him the ball where he wants it, how to move off ball so that he can go to work. This is a young man that is 20 years old, and he's the first player in NBA history to record a 10-game streak of 20-plus points before the age of 20. Again, last night he had 26, 10, and 5, the youngest player in Pelicans history to record 25-plus points, 10-plus rebounds, and 5-plus assists in a game. Passing is another strength of his, but he's still just trying to figure his points and his spots. And the best thing about Zion Jr. is that you don't have to run a play for him. You really don't. He just goes out there and leads the NBA as a rookie plus, because we know last year's like he didn't play the whole year. As a rookie plus, now figuring it out, like rounding out his rookie year and going into year two, leads the NBA with 19.3 points in the paint per game. Leads the NBA at 19 points in the paint per game. Even the best of the best, Rudy Gobert, who we just had on our show today, Chinay and Golic Jr., airing that pod. You can listen to the full interview with Rudy Gobert on our podcast. But you have a young guy that was taking it to Rudy Gobert, the two-time defensive player of the year. So, yeah, it's his team. It's honestly his league, because a lot of people want him to be the future. They're slowly figuring it out, but it is strange because we thought we'd be talking about him more, but it takes a while for the team to turn the corner.
Chinay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. And that's what I'm curious about, though, is how the reality has matched the expectations of that. And for more on that, we're delighted to go to the Goodyear Hotline and welcome in our ESPN Pelicans reporter, Andrew Lopez. And Andrew, from that end, I remember when the Pelicans got that number one overall pick, the celebration that went on in that ticket office from people who knew they had box office. And I know the world has certainly prevented that in some of its own ways. But how have the expectations of the Zion Williamson show matched the reality that you guys have gotten in New Orleans so far?
You know, this is always going to be, I think a football town. The Saints have proven that. Even LSU has proven that. This is a football town down here in New Orleans. But you started to see a change that you didn't see in the Anthony Davis years necessarily when the Pels got Zion. And it's kind of still carried that way throughout even going through everything this past year has been pretty wild with the pandemic and everything, but it's still certainly it's turning, and you see Zion kind of out front and center, and even though the team is 15-19, there's still a buzz about them I think throughout the city.
Andrew Lopez here joining us on Chenangaluk Jr., our ESPN Pelicans reporter. And you're right about it being a football town, New Orleans, because they have the same ownership group, you know, the Benson family, both owners of the Saints and also the Pelicans. And when it comes to Zion overall, though, have you seen progressions in his game? Obviously, he can walk on the floor and be a bucket, especially in the paint. But do you see those progressions from him where he's taking the step forward, where hopefully they can use that as a building block along with Brandon Ingram?
Absolutely. The biggest thing to me right now is the playmaking and point Zion, if you will. Ever since they came off of a 2-week road trip that ended in the middle of January, that ended with a really bad loss to Minnesota. They came back home. They were supposed to play the Spurs. That game got postponed. They end up playing on the next game against the Wizards. And from that game on, they've really started to run more pick and rolls with Z. They've really started to they've letting him bring the ball up, initiate the offense, and it's been a big difference in his game. And his scoring has gone up, his efficiency has gone up, his field goal percentage has gone up, and his assists have gone from I think in the first 15 games of the season, he was averaging 1.9 assists a game. Since then, he's now averaging 4.5. assist a game. The Pelicans are 8-2 now when he has at least 5 assists in a game, and he's had at least 4 in the last 8 games. He's really started to develop that next step of his offensive game. He was already uber efficient on that side, and he could do whatever he wanted in the post, and especially in the restricted area and in the paint, as you were mentioning earlier, leading the league in paint points. But now it's just a completely different ball game, and you now have to worry about him on the pick and roll, and it's just taking his offensive game to another level.
Got
to
watch out for that point Z right now. That is a freight train coming down the paint and making life miserable for a lot of people. Andrew, we appreciate the time and the insight. We're looking forward to seeing what the Pels got in the second half of the season.
Thank you, guys.
Andrew Lopez, our ESPN Pelicans reporter there, and he mentioned that's going to be the interesting part as we try and build the national star of Zion in the NBA. Can you overcome what is a very much football town? It's a little different from what we battle with Oklahoma City and the Thunder and some of these smaller markets that we talk about when there's such a clear force on the other side of the parking lot, like you mentioned. I was with the Saints. Airline Drive there. You got both facilities right there, but one certainly towering over the other in a lot of ways. But coming up next, let's head to the college ranks. We're taking you all the way up to coverage on ESPN Radio of Duke and Georgia Tech. And is it actually a real option now that the Duke Blue Devils and the men's basketball side could miss the NCAA tournament? We'll talk to someone who's going to be on the call tonight next here on Chenangola Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chenangola Jr., the podcast.
Chenangola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. And you're used to us keeping that same energy right about now. Well, you get a little bonus time, a little overtime, yes. Chenangola Jr. today, as we take you guys up 7:30 Eastern on ESPN Radio to the start of our coverage of Duke against Georgia Tech men's college basketball. We got Baylor and West Virginia winding down right now as well here. That's a 2-point game with West Virginia up on third-ranked Baylor. So plenty of great college hoops action going on right now. And for more on that, we're going to get in touch with someone who is going to be on the call later tonight for that matchup between Duke and Georgia Tech. Bob Valvano, our ESPN college basketball analyst, joins us now here where all guests do on the Goodyear Hotline. And Bob, this is an exciting one, but I think a strange thing to contemplate for so many people right now. How realistic are the chances we're talking about Duke needing to win this in order to make the tournament?
Oh, I don't think that's overstating it at all. I mean, that's what's so odd. A game like this in other years would be, I hate to say it, but kind of ignorable, because Duke would have firmly been in the field. They'd have been just playing maybe to cement the number one or a two seed, and Georgia Tech, sadly, would probably be way off the landscape, and it's the exact opposite now. They're very, very close. They're separated by a half a game in the ACC standings, and they're both playing for their postseason lives. So it's a completely different mindset and vibe going into this one, that's for sure.
Duke is actually in Joe Lunardi's latest last four out. Meanwhile, the last four in, Georgia Tech, the Yellow Jackets, they're in a better situation than Duke at 13-8, but they're barely, you know, clutching, as you mentioned, Joe, to a playoff spot, but they've won four straight. So what are you looking forward to when it comes to the other side of the ball with Georgia Tech?
The other side of the ball, meaning what? They're the way they're defending, or I'm not sure what you mean by that.
Georgia Tech's role in this whole thing. We know we're going to focus so much on Duke and all of this one, but Georgia Tech, what do people expect from this team?
Are you kidding? I didn't understand the question. Georgia Tech is maybe even a bigger story. They're on a roll right now. They've won their last four games. They have four players that have over 1,000 career points. There's only two teams in the country that have that. They're one of them. They've really, COVID has seemingly either gotten teams to rest and then be ready to play or completely derailed them. This is one of those teams where they've seemingly come back even better and stronger. They can shoot it. They're really, really pesky on defense. They steal the ball they average 9 steals a game. I mean, that's extraordinary. And they have an inside and outside presence. And a guy who's been the inside presence of late, Moses Wright, has gone out of his mind in the last few games. He's been on fire. He had 31-16 in their last game, and he is their leading scorer, their leading rebounder, their leading shot blocker. He gets to the free throw line. They're a good team. I mean, people may not know about this team, but they've got experience. They play together. They love to share the basketball. And they've got a good presence at both ends of the floor. They can really defend you, and they can shoot it. Now, that's going to be an issue today, though, guys, because Duke, it's a really weird stat. This is I noticed this one. I thought you might be interested in this. Duke is not good at all this year in defending the three. They give up 37% shooting behind the three-point line. But the weird stat about that is when opponents take more than 33% of their shots are three-pointers, Duke is 7-2. When they shoot fewer than 33% of their shots, Duke is 4-7. So teams come out, see that number, they start firing away. Georgia Tech, the three-point shot is very important for them. And if they wind up shooting that high percentage, not the high percentage of makes, they could be in trouble. The first time they played Georgia Tech, 37% of their shots were threes. And, of course, the first time they played, Duke beat them. So Georgia Tech's going to have to get in the lane and not just settle for turning this into a shooting contest.
And that's what you guys can expect and look forward to. Again, coverage for Georgia Tech and Duke starts at 7:30 Eastern here on ESPN Radio. And our guest, Bob Valvano, ESPN college basketball analyst, going to be on the call for that. Bigger picture here, Bob, as we look towards the end of the season, conference championships and the tournament, we are now heard that we've got essentially four teams on standby that are going to be there in case something were to happen to any of the tournament teams here as we try and build this out. As you look at those four teams, how tough would that decision be for coaches for a team to maybe turn down an opportunity, an invitation to a smaller NIT versus sitting and maybe hoping on the off chance that you get a call up for the NCAA tournament?
It's a good question. I hadn't even really thought about that. My guess is, everybody wants to be in the big dance. No knock on the NIT. I happen to love the NIT and have a very warm spot for it in my heart, and it's done better and better since the NCAA took it over in its organization. But having said that, the big show is the big show. So my guess is they'd rather kind of be on call, if you will, because who knows what's going to happen. I mean, we talked to David Warlock from the NCAA on my local radio show yesterday, and there's no perfect solution, guys. You know this. I mean, there's nothing you could come up with. Everybody's going to look at it and say, oh, that's terrific. We may have some teams play a game and then have an outbreak, and then all of a sudden they've got to leave, and that's going to be they don't like to use the word forfeit. They're going to call it a no contest, but, as he said, potato, potato, call it what you want, but it's going to be a forfeit, and nobody's going to like that. But if they don't do that, they can't run this thing, and they have to play this thing for a multitude of reasons, not the least of which is financial. They can't afford to leave this tournament unplayed for two straight years, so... Yeah, I mean, they got to have teams standing by. To some degree, I think there would be some sense of pride in that. I mean, you're basically right on the cusp of being in the tournament. But, the whole thing is there's going to be some hard decisions. I always look at it this way. I mean, how about for a guy, suppose they go in and three of their key players wind up being testing positive, but they have enough to play. Would you play with, your fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, and eighth man? My guess is you would, but... I mean, that's an awfully tough situation to be put in. So there's going to be really hard decisions to make all throughout this tournament. I don't think there's any question about that.
There are going to be a lot of hard decisions, and a lot of hard decisions for who even gets into that, and that all starts tonight. Duke and Georgia Tech on ESPN Radio. Bob Valvano on the call. We appreciate time today in joining us heading into that matchup. Tune in. That coverage begins at 7:30 Eastern here on ESPN Radio, and we take you up until that point. Bonus yes. Chinay and Golic Jr. coming up next, and we want to hear from you at Chinay, at Mike Golic Jr., and on the phone lines. The best sports highlight you've seen in person. We'll give you Chinay's next here on ESPN Radio.
Chinay and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Hello? Hello, hello? Is this thing working? Hello, do you hear me? Oh, yes. Ooh. Yes, our favorite motto on this show, we're still here. We're still here. Yes, it's Chinay and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Chinay Ogwumike, that's my voice. Mike Golic Jr., say something.
That's my voice here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and hopefully ESPN Plus 2 right now, where you can still see us.
Yes, we are in Chinay and Golic Jr. overtime. Yes! Let's go. Uncharted waters. Here we go. Bonus Chinay and Golic Jr., and that's because we're taking you straight up to 7:30 Eastern time. Coverage of Georgia Tech taking on Duke. And we just talked to ESPN basketball analyst Bob Valvano, who's on the call on that matchup tonight, who highlighted why, all right, we might be hearing a lot about Duke, a true blue blood, but don't sleep on Georgia Tech because they're capable in this must-win game for both of them as they try to make the NCAA tournament. March Madness, we're in March, baby. And today, Junior, I want to start off by saying this because we've been asking everyone in honor of Reggie Bush's 36th birthday, who has been a human highlight reel for our generation, especially when it came to USC and the college football highlights. We've been asking everyone, 888-729-3776, what is the best play you've seen in sports live in person? 888-729-3776. Your girl is in an African family where we use WhatsApp as our messenger, so everything starts with one when it comes to numbers.
Respect.
888-SAY-ESPN. Hit us up. The best sports play that you have witnessed live. I've been still trying to think what my sports play will be, but until then, let me buy some time because we're talking about birthdays, and this is what happened to me this morning as I missed our show meeting. My bad, but shout out to Kelsey Riggs for holding it down for me, okay? So I have two workouts this morning. I have strength and conditioning workout, and then I had my basketball court workout, and my boy is Dash. His name is Dash, and I had a great workout with him. I hop back in the car, start checking in. I call my boy Shannon, producer Shannon, try to check in with the show, and then I called for the jump, got my show notes for the jump, and then I'm getting ready. I'm getting back home, and then I look at my phone. It was my boy Dash's birthday today, and I had zero clue.
Oh, no.
Like, I went and worked out with my boy Dash, and I looked back, and he was posting some things. I was like, oh, snap. Like, I fully missed your birthday. So we're talking about birthdays today. My trainer, Dash, happy birthday to you. Also, it's Reggie Bush's birthday, so great athletes, great, you know, trainers, great people in the world of sports. So I feel like this is my way of apologizing by saying happy birthday to my trainer, who I completely forgot in my workout that it was his birthday.
It's very 2021 to wish your trainer a happy birthday on national radio, which is kind of like, you know, an even upgraded version of doing it on social media,
yes.
But not in person when you guys were together.
Yeah, see, I told him, I was like, I will give you a gift when I see you again. Like, how did you not tell me? He was like, oh, so good, sis. I'm like, oh, man, you're too good to me.
You know why that is? Because you have a single-minded focus right now of rising and grinding in preparation for this upcoming season. And, Janae, that's the funny part of having this conversation about highlight reel plays. Because Reggie Bush is, to me, the best college football player I've seen in my lifetime with my own two eyes. The things that he did were some of the most impressive highlights I've ever seen. From making cuts literally in midair, going behind the back in that play in a game where he had over 500 yards of total off, or 500 yards all purpose in that game. He's been the best highlight player I've ever seen. And so I asked people that, the highlight they've seen in person. And I realized for you, the reason you're struggling so much to probably think of a highlight you've seen in person is because you were the highlight in most of these instances, I would imagine.
I mean, maybe, but then I've also played with a lot of great players and seen a lot of great players too. So like it started in high school where I saw in the start of, you know, social media and viral moments, Sam McGuffey, shout out to Cypher High School in Cypress, Texas. Ooh. He went viral, made all the news. You saw those highlights, right? Of him hurdling guys.
Oh,
this is a guy that is currently, I think, a bobsledder for like the U.S. Olympic team or something like that.
It's damn impressive. Well, Sam McGuffey, so I played in the U.S. Army All-American game coming out of high school after my senior year, and Sam was in that game. And so I remember being at practice, and you would do like one-on-one, those backs-on-backers drills, and we basically set it up so that we would get Sam McGuffey in a position because he was one of the first real viral athletes.
Yep.
And so we got him to do that flip at Army practice, and everyone lost their mind because you got the white running back out here doing flips.
Right, and then this is my life too, because the biggest game of the year, we had Andre Johnson and Jacoby Jones come to our game as the Cyfair High School Bobcats took on Stratford quarterback Andrew Luck, who became the quarterback of Stanford that I got to know. And so I spent 4 years, or like 2 years when I got there, watching Andrew Luck. And I look back and I'm like, why was I ever nervous that we would ever win when we had Andrew Luck as quarterback? Like, I was so stressed in those games. We had Andrew Luck. Like, we were good. But, you know, it's part of the college experience. So I saw a lot of great highlights there. And then I step into the WNBA, and I'm, like, playing against, you know, all the greats. Like, my second game is against Tamika Catchings. I get to play against Diana Taurasi. And then I'm an NBA analyst going to a lot of events as well. So there are a lot of high moments for me. And I've been a part of some, especially when it came to UConn beating that streak, which was fun too, my freshman year. So, Junior, I'm sorry I don't have an answer, but that is my answer.
You know what? It's fine, because that was one long extended flex for all the great things that you've been able to be a part of.
Oh, but one final flex. And the reason why Stanford was great was we had the number one pick in the WNBA draft, my sister, the NFL draft, Andrew Luck, all in the same class, Mark Appel MLB draft, and Ashley Hansen, the softball draft, all the draft class of 2012.
Dear God. All right.
So,
that was
highlights everywhere.
Pretty dominant class for Stanford on there. Seems like you guys were doing all right in that spot there. I don't have one to top that personally, but I can give you one from ESPN's own Marty Smith, who you see all over the place here, who texted me when we started having this conversation. And how's this for a flex coming from Marty Smith, who you guys have seen? He's everywhere. Marty and McGee, that you can catch all the time on ESPN Radio on the weekends on the SEC Network. Marty goes everywhere and does anything. We've seen him throw passes on the White House lawn. Marty texts me and says, "It's close. Watching Tiger win the Masters at the 18th green in Augusta in 2019 was the best moment I've ever covered or seen in person. But in terms of jaw-dropping, it's Tua and 26. That second and 26 play in overtime for Tua Tagovailoa, who came in the second half of that national title game against Georgia and ultimately goes in for the walk-off win. And, Janae, I was there on the sideline with Jason Fitz, who you catch all the time after us on ESPN Radio, standing next to Alabama's confetti machine in that moment. Which
triggers,
is
right? Was that triggering for you?
Extremely triggering in that moment right here. So let's get away from my trigger and get to your calls, 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. Scott in Ohio, you're on Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio. What's the best highlight reel moment you saw in person?
Hey, guys. Hey, I was at the Ohio State-Michigan game in the mid-90s when Charles Woodson won back the punt versus Ohio State to seal the Heisman Trophy for him.
Oh, my God.
Classic.
Unbelievable moments. Those college football moments hit different, Janae. I had someone hit me up and talk about being on the sideline for the Alabama-Auburn, the Iron Bowl kick six game. There's just something, we've missed it all year this year, those atmospheres around sporting events, but to be there for a moment like that, special teams plays winning a game are insane.
Yeah, especially when it comes to college football, the amount of crowd that's there, like, it just makes it feel different. You're a part of something unbelievable. We got to get more callers in. Keep going.
We do. Let's go to Jay in South Carolina. Jay, you're on Janae and Golic Jr. What's the highlight reel moment you saw in person?
Yeah, so this wasn't a glorious moment, but an iconic not top 10 moment. I was in Milwaukee at Miller Park for Ryan Braun of what would have been an inside-the-park home run, and as he was rounding third, he completely busted it, fell on his face, and obviously was tagged out. It was awesome to watch in person.
Yeah, no, not a great time on that one. We had Kimberly Martin, our ESPN NFL analyst, on before, who talked about being covering the Jets
butt fumble
during the butt fumble. And now I do feel bad because Mark Sanchez works here now and he's a great guy and he's an awesome college football analyst for us. But Janae, that's one of those moments that's going to follow him for the rest of his natural born life.
Time heals all wounds, but sometimes, you know, you get in your feelings when you see those plays because they follow you forever. And that's like the number one deterrent. I say, like, no air balls. First of all, air balls aren't that bad. But I'm like, no air balls, because you don't want those things. That's the motivation for athletes. You see plays like that, you're like, ooh, I don't want that to be me. Case in point, maybe Daniel Jones. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I can say falling down there. It's gonna be tough. Like that one, we've all seen
good
the
play,
turf
though.
Monster get guys, and he was moving fast. I think that was clocked at one of the miles per hours wise, one of the fastest runs in the NFL that year by a quarterback.
There you go. Look at you being positive.
Silver lining on that one. Let's get one more in. Eric in Denver, you're on Chiney and Golic Jr. What's the highlight reel moment you saw in person, Eric?
Well, I'll tell you what, it was a Monday night football game. Green Bay was up here in Denver. It was 2007, overtime. Brett Favre hit a rookie, Greg Jennings, down the left sideline for an 80-yard touchdown. And I was going nuts.
It's unbelievable. Brett Favre had a lot of those moments. Chiney, I can still distinctly remember, I don't think it was a Monday night football game because I actually remember watching it, oddly enough, when I was at Sunday school as a kid. But
how?
Brett Favre, listen, it was a big time game. Well, it was Brett Favre coming back after the passing of his father in that game against the Raiders, I believe, where he went all the way off in that one. And so that was a different next level game. But yeah, for some reason, I guess we were taking a break from the Lord at that point to go watch Brett Favre serve up some touchdowns.
No comment.
It is the weird. Like, every once in a while, the memories just hit you. And I don't know why. But
you're right. Sometimes there's some sporting moments that you got to press pause and be like, hey, everyone.
Apologies.
How's it going?
Apologies to Jesus on that one. Coming up next, though. We always have this conversation around GIF versus JIF. If the person who invented it says it's okay, if it says it's pronounced one way, do we go with that? Coming up next, can the real Mello make a ruling on us calling Mello Mello? I'll explain next. Chiney and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio on ESPN
Mello.
Plus.
Chiney and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Warm up. Duke is attempting to make its 25th consecutive NCAA tournament, trailing only Kansas and their 30 straight trips. If Duke somehow makes it through the conference tournament, they will enter the national tournament as a double-digit rank for the first time in their program's history. That's a little nugget for you. Chiney and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live on ESPN Plus. Chiney Ogwumike and Mike Golic Jr. And I gave you those facts because we're taking you right up to the 7:30 Eastern time in about 10 minutes coverage of Georgia Tech taking on Duke, the Blue Devils. And speaking of which, we have to thank Bob Valvano, who joined us today here on Chiney and Golic Jr., ESPN college basketball analyst, who got us ready before the big game. Also, switching gears now to the NBA, the professional ranks, Andrew Lopez, our own ESPN Pelicans reporter, who told us whether Zion has really taken the next step forward in their success after taking down the Utah Jazz last night. Kimberly A. Martin showed up and showed out, also co-host the First Take Her Take, ESPN NFL reporter, who gave us the funniest low light because we asked for highlights today, the best sports play you saw in person, and she gave us the butt fumble. But the funny thing is she also gave us, you know, the news talking about J.J. Watt and his home in Arizona now. But we really have to thank Kelsey Riggs because, you know, you see her on the ACC network here at ESPN, and she really held it down the first hour. Most importantly, gave us the game notes that I can't wait to check out on our podcast. And speaking of the podcast, we aired today our interview with two-time NBA All-Star and two-time Defensive Player of the Year, Rudy Gobert, who joined me a couple days ago, the day that the NBA All-Star reserves were announced. And we talked about a lot of things, how he's being able to improve as a defensive player, which is crazy because he's a two-time Defensive Player of the Year, why the Utah Jazz are surging in the number one team overall, and what it was like to be at the center of the shutdown last year and what he sort of learned from that, you know, experience, the maturity to the growth, and how he really, you know, gave a lot to charity because he wanted to make sure those in Oklahoma City, those in Utah, and even those back home in France were able to get the resources they needed to fight coronavirus. So a lot of people came on the show today. It was a really special one. And again, especially this podcast with Rudy Gobert, you can check it out now, right now on our Chiney and Golic Jr. podcast. You can go there. If you go there, if you subscribe, rate and review, you'll never miss it. So the full conversation with Rudy Gobert is there. And if you want to watch it tomorrow, it'll air and drop on YouTube and all over social media for ESPN. Wow, a very busy day. And shout out to you, Jr., for holding it down as we're now in overtime.
Yeah, we got extended Chiney and Golic Jr. today. It's the end of the day, and it's brought to you by Indeed. Indeed helps businesses hire great people fast. Visit Indeed.com/credit. And we had a lot of great people to help us get to this point. We are trying to get you to an even better place, as we talked about. Georgia Tech and Duke on here. ACC hoops right now. We still got West Virginia and Baylor in overtime going on currently. So a lot of college hoops action winding down at the end of this season. We're excited for that. We're going to try and keep rolling with that same energy here. We want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy levels was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You could just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Janae and Golic Jr.
All right, Janae, keeping that same energy. How about this one from your hometown team? We know James Harden gets to go back and have a game against the Rockets now in his Nets uniform. Rockets owner Tillman Fertitta was asked by the Houston Chronicle's Jonathan Fagan. He said, James Harden will always be a Rocket. Quote, of course we will retire his jersey. He made my first 3 years owning this franchise unforgettable. The success he brought to the franchise over 8 years and the memories he created for our fan base and community are truly remarkable. A little thirsty, Chinee, for the first game back, all of a sudden talking about retiring his jersey.
Talking about first, not the first time his jersey's been in the rafters.
Nope, certainly not. Well known in the city of Houston, on and
real
off the
MVP,
court.
On and off the court. Let's go.
I'm sure that's the welcome back that he is looking most forward to in this instance.
Protocols.
Yes, protocols. Protocols above everything. Janae Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, keeping that same energy. How about Carmelo Anthony? Listen to Carmelo Anthony, Blazers forward, talking about LaMelo Ball, who he just squared all with. We saw a jersey swap, and the name Melo came up in discussion.
I'm me. It's nothing that nobody can do, nobody can say. You know, I think LaMelo is somebody who is going to be in this game for a long time. So the name Melo, you guys might as well continue getting used to that or stay with it. I don't get into that, though. You know, it's for me, it's a respect thing. It's an honor, you know, for him to have that name, for him to embrace it, you know, for him to do the celebration. Like, it's an honor. It's a blessing. It's a respect thing for me. So
thanks for Melo taking the high road on this, Chinee, but I'm sorry. We can call him La, we can call him Lil Melo, but there is one Melo in my lifetime, and his name is Carmelo Anthony.
Thank you. I'm going to be that auntie that's on my porch alongside you, and we're going to be like, get off our lawn. How dare you say that the Melo is La Melo when the real Melo is Carmelo? It's a generational thing.
It is. I respect Carmelo saying and offering and extending this olive branch in this spot, but much like the guy who created the GIF and says it's pronounced GIF, just because you invented it doesn't mean you get to change English or change my mind on this.
GIF
subject.
Is like the car place, and then it's also like the peanut butter. GIF is what we see on social media.
Amen. Speaking of things that we saw on social media during the show today, Chinee, I was amazed at this headline. The first ever space hotel is slated to be operational by 2027. That is right. A three-year-old company called Orbital Assembly plans to begin building the Voyager station in low Earth orbit in 2025.
Oh my gosh.
And believes the Interstellar Resort may be operational in 2027. That's in 6 years.
Thank you.
What the
That's
hell?
6 years away. Don't we have things to do? Don't we have things to fix on Earth? I mean, maybe this is a contingency plan.
I was going to say, like, having a backup plan doesn't sound like... I've seen a lot of space movies, Chinee, and it seems like having a backup plan in mind ain't the worst idea.
Did you just finish reading The Martian? Is that why you're so excited about this?
Yes, although I know in this instance, for anyone who's read the book or the movie, I don't have those survival skills. So if we get up to space and something hits the fan, don't look to me for help because I'm going to be asking someone else just like you guys.
Let's put our reservations in first. We have to be there. We have to be a part of this plan B just in case, okay?
There we go. We're going to start making our reservations. For what it's worth, the pictures of the hotel. Oh,
yes,
yeah.
Space Jam. I'm already on Mars, though, so, and everybody in my family's on Mars, so might as well.
That is true. This show loves space, and so why not continue to support it right now? But while we're making space for big news in here, and the resort looks great. It's big stuff on there. We do have big news. Friend of the program, friend of mine, Kyle Rudolph, longtime Minnesota Vikings tight end, 10-year NFL veteran, was released by the team today after that decade, penned a letter to Minnesota in the Players Tribune that you guys can check out and read there on Rudy's Instagram account, on his Twitter account there. But, you know, bittersweet moment there. Chinee, excited to see. He's got a lot of ball left in him, but what the legacy him and his wife have left in Minnesota, all the work that he did off the field there. He was the Walter Payton Man of the Year nominee for them many years. You know, impressive stuff there. I'm really proud of what he built there, him and his family. And
one of my favorite things is seeing him on social media. He has one of the best families. How did you feel when you saw that on the timeline?
It was, you know what, it was exciting, Chinee, because I know Kyle still got a lot left in him, but thinking about his three kids, one of whom is my goddaughter, born there and growing up there, the life they've made there, it's pretty cool. It's a place that I've gotten to spend a lot of time with because of them. So
you're a zaddy.
I am
a
god zaddy indeed on that one. Ladies, step right up on that. So excited to see where Rudy lands. Excited to see what goes on next here on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.